Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Incredible play. 35-yard touchdown. Alan Lazard, 6'5" frame. Needing every bit of it.
Oh, Hartman's still going. Inside the 10, and he is in for the touchdown.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it. Breaking away. Garrett Wilson. Wilson, a big play downfield. Wilson still going along the sideline. He's not going to go down. Allen tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning, 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast, number 95 for the Jets.
Listen, thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. I want to talk about all the media coverage surrounding this Jets, Packers, Aaron Rodgers circus, where all the leaks are coming from, why these narratives have developed and all of that. So I went to the person that I know who is the straightest shooter there is, the guy who knows this stuff and how to decode it. We always call him our secret decoder ring over at Play Like a Jet. He, of course, was the communications director for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 3 years. And so he knows every hold, every counter hold, every reversal, as they say in the wrestling business. My buddy, John Grella. John, what's up, man?
Hey, dude. I also wrestled growing up. Definitely could talk about wrestling holds as well.
Let's talk about the wrestling match going on right now between the Green Bay Packers and the New York Jets. Now, we know Mark Murphy probably drove a lot of this, so I want to get to the Packers side of it with Rodgers, Jordan Love, all that. At first, we were hearing about how the Packers would welcome Aaron Rodgers back with open arms, and it was completely up to him. Then we heard that the Packers would be fine moving on if that's what Aaron Rodgers wanted. Then it became the Packers were eager to move on. Then it became Jordan Love is the next big thing, and we really want Aaron Rodgers to leave. That was what the Packers were basically saying, or it seemed that way from Packer-related media. How would this develop in Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst's head in terms of strategy? It seems strange that it would shift from A all the way to Z so quickly.
I think they probably, the most generous read of this would be that they realize that people have short attention spans, and so their situational posture will be quickly forgotten and are just kind of just viewing the situation in terms of the here and now, and what can I do today to maximize leverage today, and I'll worry about tomorrow, because you didn't know when this would go down. You didn't know when the player would decide he was coming back, when the deal would work itself out. And we still don't know that. So what drove them from the very beginning, and I think probably a lesson learned the hard way from the Favre stuff and something that, you know, teams around this league and other leagues find all the time, is they don't want to look like the bad guy. And nowadays it's very rare that you have athletes that stay with one team for all this time. And also a fan base that are like the Green Bay Packers fan base, which is a very, very unique one. So it was really important that they danced this delicate, choreographed dance so that the organization didn't look like they kicked the legend to the curb. Needless to say, they have very strong opinions about the player, as do all football fans, that he's obviously a legend, as I mentioned, but also that he's a lot, that he's a handful. Reminds me of the old expression that you'd see on the in the bathroom stall wall that says, no matter how hot she is, somebody somewhere is sick of her shit. So my guess is that the Packers, as fatigued as they were by Aaron Rodgers, and if we all feel fatigued and he hasn't even played a snap for us yet, just imagine how they feel. They knew that they had to tread very lightly, and they did not want to get blamed for cutting bait on this legend. So that was really what's important. And then after that happened, what they wanted to do was give themselves a chance, position themselves to capture as much, you know, as they can in return for a player that they know that they're done with. And I do happen to believe, and I've heard from folks in league that they are indeed fond of Jordan Love. And obviously there's no faking on that front. If you cut bait on Rodgers, you better be all in on Love, because jobs are riding on that. And if they're wrong about this, then they're as screwed as the Jets are if they mess the situation up.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
John, the Derek Carr stuff, the leaking of the Jets telling him that they think he could be a Hall of Famer, the meeting going really well. It seemed like we were hearing things from both sides. What was driving that? Was that just a mutual interest of Derek Carr thinking that this would help him with other teams, the Jets thinking that this would help them perhaps with the Packers because Rodgers was clearly still their first choice? Was it a coordinated effort, do you think? Or do you believe that maybe both sides really did like each other, it just didn't work out in the end? How did the media end of this play out, do you think, in terms of the leaks from both camps?
Right. So certainly, if you're really good at media work, you can use media's biases and desires to your advantage. And I think it doesn't take a total wizard to realize that the media really wants Aaron Rodgers in New York. There are a million segments were born, on how hard should the Jets go for Aaron Rodgers? Should they go all in? And you're never going to hear a media reporter say, no, they shouldn't go all in until until they do, and then you're going to hear that they overextended themselves and tried too hard. So as far as the car stuff goes, look, anybody who claims to know for certain is BSing. My sense is that the Jets don't do a lot of talking on their own. And it doesn't probably make them look very good to have had that leak that they believe that Carr could be a Hall of Famer. That seems to me self-interested from the Carr camp or his brother or whatever. And who knows in context, or out of context, what was really said and meant by what was intended by that comment. So, but I think it's pretty clear now that the Jets didn't really go for Carr, right? If we want to argue over semantics about like whether they put in an offer, how serious they, that's all up for debate, but it's pretty clear that they were not in a bidding war for Carr. And they seem to be fine, whether this is the right assessment or not, but it seemed like they were okay with letting that one go. And we'll see whether that was the right call, but what ended up irking me from the, as a Jets fan was at a certain point, I'm fine if you're not sold on Carr or don't want to overpay for Carr. I'm also fine if, let's say, you realize that, and this is so funny that there'd be more of a market for Jimmy G than for Aaron Rodgers, but we all understand, the discerning fan understands why. But once those guys are gone, and then all of a sudden the next tier down is also gone too, you're kind of over a barrel. You painted yourself into a corner, and that's part of what's informed so much of my frustration with the Jets. I don't know how avoidable some of it is, but at a certain point, the Packers were very glad, and maybe they manufactured or manipulated the situation to get this outcome. But at a certain point, the Jets are look like they are very interested with this quarterback. They have raised the media's and their fan base's expectations that they land the player. They've certainly raised the owner's hope and expectation that they land the player, and they're currently without a plan B, which is what the Packers want. Does that mean that the Jets have all the leverage? Far from. I'm sorry, that the Packers have all the leverage? Far from. But it seems to me like at least some of this was avoidable, and that and what if, by putting all of your eggs in this basket, and I understand that in order to get this special player that you had to go all in, or you had to wait for him, and there was no stupid ultimatum like people talk about, like, well, if it were me, I'd call Aaron Rodgers and say you have until the close of business to decide. That's of course going to only result in the player walking away, but it seems to me like that what if this quirky player, and we say eccentric when somebody is weird and wealthy, this eccentric player changes his mind, doesn't like something he read, gets irritated that the Jets are supposedly interested in Lamar Jackson too, you name it. After having said that he's interested in playing for the Jets, he did not, by the way, say I'm only playing for the Jets, which of course would be, better for the Jets' leverage. But, who knows? Some other quarterback in the league, and this is, the Packers, cynical hope, is that some other quarterback in the league tears his knee or Achilles in the next couple months, and they hold back and they all of a sudden have a market for Rodgers. But there's a lot about how the Jets have navigated all this that has me concerned. I love the player. I don't love the loss of control.
John, we know the Jets and Aaron Rodgers had a bit of a clandestine meeting, and then we started to find out details, the Trey Wingo tweet after midnight, and then the flying out to California and all that stuff, but it was largely kept under wraps before that. We had no idea that the Packers had granted permission and that this meeting was going to take place. Do we think that the secretive nature of everything was just to placate Rodgers?
It seems to me that the Douglas administration is, plays poker and probably is less into media games. And I understand why. Look, media games are oftentimes silly and stupid, but I can't complain too much because it's essentially what's given me a career. So you can't be too mad at it, but I appreciate and respect that Douglas doesn't appear to be more concerned with media than with the betterment of the team. So that's good. But they had the meeting probably because they did not want media following them around, waiting at the private airport, following them to, wherever the meeting was and so on. And it just was not smart. And I think the biggest issue, despite a football coach's or front office's, instinctive desire to be secretive about everything possible, even when it's paranoid and stupid, in this instance, I get why they're doing it. Mainly, and if they were asking me as a PR advisor, I would say what you don't need is to raise the fan base's hopes any more than you already have.
John, let's talk about what happened after Rodgers went on McAfee. The story that you kept hearing was that the Packers gained all this leverage. I hate using that word, but there's really no other word to use in this case. After Rodgers went on McAfee and told the world that he wanted to go to the Jets. But the way I've looked at it is the Jets and the Packers knew about this since Friday. So it's not anything new. It's not like Rodgers went on there, told the world, and he hadn't told anybody else. The Packers and Jets knew exactly where they were at negotiating wise. From a media standpoint, do you think Rodgers saying something like that really affects anything at all other than, and we'll get into this in a little bit, maybe tilting the media narrative? Because it doesn't seem to me that it should change the negotiation at all. All it would do is make the media write certain stories in a certain direction.
This is a very interesting question, Scott, and something that I could see myself debating for hours just on this particular topic. But the quicker answer is there's a lot of media who are frustrated when a non-establishment person has this much power and influence, and that they have to credit the Pat McAfee show with any new reporting, right? That's one thing, and just to keep that in mind. And there's already the baked in biases in favor of Rodgers because he's a star, but against Rodgers because of who he is, because he's prickly, because he's difficult and combative with the media, also personal politics or vax politics too, and that's a different matter altogether. But there's a lot of strong feelings about the player. What I found fascinating from a Jets fan community reaction was people viewed that as an exhale day, and it wasn't. It was a hurdle cleared in that it was nice and it was essential for the player to say at a certain point that he is playing and that he would play for the Jets. That was significant. As much as I dislike a lot of media shenanigans and you know me, our offline conversations about coverage across different fronts is a topic of fascination for both of us. But what really was interesting about this particular situation was that Rodgers did not say I'll only play for the Jets. He didn't necessarily need to. He just said that he would. And the Packers very quickly scrambled to make it look like they're much more in control of a situation that they're just not in control of. And I'm you know, following this conversation or this interview, and I love McAfee, and you know, sure, I'm down with this experiment, provided it lasts for more than one season. But, you know, hey, let's get this thing over with. But that was not the end, but rather the beginning. In that they he only indicated that he's going to play and that he would play for the Jets, not that he would only play for the Jets. The Packers were, I guess, you know, good at the gamesmanship, and that they were making it sound as if, you know, he had you know, worsened their leverage or their negotiating position. And it seems like there's just a lot of hard feelings, and that there's a little sort of bitter balls about Rodgers coming from Green Bay, which is understandable. But the part that irked me about Rodgers was that with all the nonsense that, you know, that the media does drum up, particularly as it pertains to Rodgers, you know, he said he clearly, for a guy who's, you know, acts like he doesn't care about the media, he clearly had been reading coverage that made it sound as if he was going on McAfee like LeBron with the decision. And he really bristled at that. And so we wanted to make it clear, hey, I this is not the decision. I'm just correcting the record. And you go, you know what, dude? This is what the cost is when you don't communicate. I'm not saying that you're right or wrong to do it, but just go in eyes wide open and understand that if you're going to be minimalist with your information, then you're gonna essentially surrender all control of the narrative. And so if what fills the void or fills the vacuum is BS or whatever, like not accurate or serious or current information, then that's what you signed up for, bro. And that's like a preview of things to come. But like he was really, like, you know, in his attempt to make it look like he's not being a diva. And of course, everyone knows that's part of who he is, and it may be worth it, but that's just part of who he is. But you can't then complain, you know, that everyone's getting everything wrong. You have not told us the right way to report this.
John, I want to ask you about what came out after the McAfee appearance, and we just talked about it a little bit, which is this narrative that the Packers had all the leverage. It seemed like all these media outlets were coming out en masse and saying this. It was like a memo went out. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but it felt like that.
Yeah.
Tell me about how this would unfold, because it feels like to me the Packers working the media, as they say in boxing and in MMA, working the refs to get the more favorable coverage and to tilt this in their favor in terms of public perception.
I don't think necessarily that they were thinking that they were actually improving their negotiating position, or that this pressure would affect Joe Douglas. Part of me wonders whether it's aimed at getting Woody so excited that Woody tells Joe, just cut the deal. I need the player now. And the Packers have the luxury. And I think this is really, you know, an underappreciated aspect of all of this, in all of the kind of moments along the way here, that the Packers not having ownership, like traditional ownership, has allowed them to proceed just differently. Boomer Esiason brought up, this is what in one way Boomer Esiason smartly brought up, but I think he's been very good on this, that at a certain point, a billionaire owner is going to tell his GM, clear out. I'm going to call my counterpart and hammer this deal out because I'm a titan of industry. Okay. In this instance, you know, could he call Murphy? Sure, but it makes it different. But what makes it different from the Packers' standpoint and gives them a little bit of leverage, actually, is the new recipe, the new model template for somebody. You know, it's we had talked about previously, players like Jamal Adams can get a one-way ticket out of town just by you know, rousing rabble and stirring shit. And so that you know, and then remember Deshaun Watson doing that in Houston before his other stuff came up. And, you know, we could argue about whether that was a coincidence or not. But it seems like nowadays all you have to do is trash talk your own organization, and then at a certain point the owner taps out and, you know, or calls the GM and says, get this guy out of here. I'm the laughing stock of my country club. And in the Packers instance, there's really nobody who's just like, you know, Woody's counterpart. So they can hang on and not feel like Rodgers being out there and Rodgers being Rodgers is like humiliating to them. And I give them credit for that because, you know, again, as a person who spends his whole career in communications and thinks in terms of communications and PR and all that stuff, and yes, leverage, there's hard leverage and soft leverage. Like, hard leverage are facts. Soft leverage is how much does the pressure bother you? And you know, are you heat sensitive or not? And so in the instance of the Packers, they are seemingly less heat sensitive, which is good for them. They don't, you know, the absence of ownership allows them to do that, and they're never going to have anybody kind of come in over the top and tell Murphy or Gutekunst, end this now, get this thing done now. And so if you think of it that way, you say, all right, well, while nobody has all of the leverage, you know, and it's debatable, and I like hearing, as I mentioned before we started recording, like, I like hearing everyone's thought process on this, and you know, and I'm not going to like block somebody on Twitter just because they think that, what, you know, this team has all the leverage or the other one does. But it, look, in my view, the while the draft is not a hard deadline, it is a mighty strong soft deadline. And if you're the Packers, you'd be wise to play this up until the draft. And because at a certain point, you know, you're going to want those assets this year. And then you're also, you've also got to assume that if this thing is likely to get done, that the Jets are going to be drafting in a lower spot next year. So I think they probably realize that they're going to do the very best they can to maximize their leverage between now and late April. But who knows what the Jets say in response. I'd even heard some people say it would be a real, a very risky, but interesting screw job for the Jets to trade down in the first round and tell the Packers, you know, here's your first rounder. It's a 32nd pick, you know, but obviously very risky to do things like that. So, we'll see if, you know, what kind of games follow from now, but, if I'm the Packers, without a, you know, business is business and it's not personal. If I'm them, I, you know, make my best deal at my best moment between now and late April.
John, from a communications standpoint, how do you think the Jets should be handling this? Because it feels like the Packers are punching, and the Jets are not punching back. They're staying silent. It's almost like they're Muhammad Ali in Zaire, laying up against the ropes, trying to let the Packers tire themselves out. Would you be more aggressive counterpunching here, perhaps leak rumors that you're making calls to the Rams about Matthew Stafford, the Vikings about Kirk Cousins, the Titans about Ryan Tannehill, maybe a leak that you're preparing an offer sheet for Lamar Jackson? What do you think?
If the Packers weren't going to see right through all of those shenanigans, then I'd say, sure, fine. But anything the Jets do now to, you know, will look too cute by half. So I don't think that, and it also can carry some risk. Could they wink at Rodgers or tell Rodgers we're going to talk, you know, we're going to leak that we're interested in Lamar Jackson. Don't be upset. Like, that doesn't guarantee that the guy won't be upset. But I think the Packers and any other team will see through anything the Jets do that say, you know, hey, we're not as interested as you think we are. I think it's just, it's pretty clear now that, you know, the Jets got on the plane and went there. Everyone is expecting this, and there's nothing that the Jets could do, at least in my estimation, or at least that I could foresee the Jets could do to disabuse the Packers of the notion that they are all in on Rodgers. And there's no other player that compares, you know, Ryan Tannehill, or, you know, all due respect to Matthew Stafford in his prime, like there's, and even Lamar Jackson, like, you know, Rodgers is great. The Packers know he's great. They're sick of his shit, but they know he's great, and they know the Jets think he's great. So there's almost nothing to be done there, and it just seems like it's their style to just keep quiet and keep their eye on the ball and let the games be played by other people. There might be something, and again, I'm sounding like somebody who, you know, I should be promoting the interests of my, you know, my personal expertise or my field of work at the very least, but there is something to be said for not playing games that don't mean anything or mean very much, demonstrating time and again that you're focused, that you've kept your eye on the ball, and just letting the process work itself out. I think that's great. I think that them not being bothered by the media game is fine. On the other hand, in politics and in sports, both places where I've worked, the people who are so hung up on either not looking bad in the media or looking good in the media are oftentimes eventually exposed as you know, empty suits or not the real deal. Because if that matters to you so very much, you know, riding the you know, media roller coaster from minute to minute, then you're clearly getting sucked into some things that just don't matter as much. Whatever people say about you on message boards, and trust me, I've been there more times than I care to mention, things that are said on message boards, on Twitter, or in a news story from a random person that can eat up an awful lot of time and ultimately do not matter, or the pursuit of, you know, Gutekunst or whatever wants to look like, you know, a hot shot or the executive of the year or whatever. And I'm not saying he does. Somebody so caught up in looking like they're a wizard at their job and, you know, not having the wisdom or perspective of knowing that what really is going to matter here is if you win. And these stories in March don't really matter much. Opting out of it as much as you can sometimes could be a good thing. And as much as I love PR and would love for the Jets to offer me, you know, millions of dollars a year to advise them, you know, I would probably advise them just make a good deal and I'll be happy as a fan.
John Grella, our friend, who, of course, was the communications director for the Tampa Bay Bucks for 3 years, so he knows how this media game is played. Glad we could get him to come on the show and give his insights on this topic. Really appreciate it, John. For everybody that wants to interact with you on social media and may need your skills as a communications professional, because, as I always like to say, you are the bulldozer Brian Lee of PR. You will go wherever the money is, wherever you're needed. They can come in and get your services. You'll go to the highest bidder.
Doesn't that make me Ted DiBiase or
no, if you were Ted DiBiase, you'd be the one paying people.
I do have that blazer, though, with the dollar signs on the lapel. Does that make a difference?
John, by the way, the next time we hang out in person and get some pizza, I am now demanding you wear that Ted DiBiase outfit.
Consider it done. That's a fact. Appreciate it as always. Love chopping it up with you, Scott, about any Jet stuff, but particularly when there's a crisis or a media situation. And I'm always happy to offer my hot takes or lukewarm takes, whatever. And if anybody's looking out for me, I'd add Jonathan Grella on Twitter. Here to help and here to chat, especially about the teams I care so much about.
Make sure you follow John on Twitter. And as I said, if you're somebody that needs a comms pro for hire, you know that John is the very best. So empty those pockets like the $1 million man for John. And maybe if you're lucky, he'll even wear that $1 million man getup for you. Make sure you check out everything we've got going on at playlikeajet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. We've got an awesome All-22 film breakdown of Alan Lazard on our channel right now. So watch our videos. Subscribe if you haven't already. YouTube.com/playlikeajet. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quentin Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there. teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes. If you haven't done that already, easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. It doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.